For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Hey, 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 family. This is Chandra Bettner Gray, and I'm back with this legal light of mine. So I'm kind of excited, but let me just be 100% honest. I am on CP time this week. So I know I missed a whole week, and so I'm going to try and see if I can get two recordings in this week. But hey, you know, life happens and it is what it is. Not to mention that, but I just happen to be in the noisiest section of my building here at Bettner Gray Law Office. I done tried now. I tried to find a quiet space. I kicked folks out. I done turned off the heaters and it is still loud. I guess that's a part of living in the city or having a business in the city. It's just noise going on, all manner of life, folks walking by, cars, I mean the loudest cars driving by. So it is what it is. So if you hear some nonsense in the background, just have grace for a sister, okay? Thank you so much for your patience, and here we are. So this past week, I guess the week before this past week, I don't really know, we celebrated Valentine's Day, and for some people, they hate it, some people, they love it. One of the things, though, that is, I think, powerful about it is just a purposeful pause to think about the people that are in our lives that we love, our spouses, if you're not married to them, your significant other, your very close friends. For me, for years, including this year and probably every year going forward, I celebrate my children and our great love for each other. And I try to encourage them to say something loving and kind to each other. Because it's just a moment to stop and really look at our love for each other. So, you know, we feel it, we live in it day in and day out, but we don't always stop and say something about it. So I loved just celebrating love. And as I was doing that, I was just reflecting on my husband, Mark. I know I've said that I'm married, but his name is Mark. He's like my silent partner in everything now. He ain't silent behind closed doors, but when I am, whatever it is that God has called me to do, all of my endeavors, folks see me, but they don't see him. But he is just as involved in everything that I'm doing and have done. And I wanted to dedicate this episode to him and his love for me and his love for God and his love for our children, because it's so amazing. And he doesn't ask for, nor does he need claps. But I wanted to just take a little time and give some claps to him. So, you know, I think God kind of purposes us or calls each one of us to something. And I don't think that I would have had the courage to do any of the things that I've begun to walk out on water to do if it weren't for his backing, his encouragement, his friendship, his kindness and steadfastness in my life. And so it really made me think about how we can be that for somebody else. You know, the world wants to discourage us and kick us down, and sometimes our life experiences and what we think about ourselves tries to completely discourage us and crush us from going forward, I guess, with what we know is in our heart to do or what we know we've been called to do. We're just too afraid, or we think we're inadequate, or, you know, we just have been paralyzed and we don't want to try. And I think that when we can come alongside of a good friend or our significant other or a loved one or even our children and breathe encouragement and breathe life into whatever is in their heart to do and be, there's no telling how far they can go. It's no telling how you can encourage their hearts enough to have faith in what God has called them to do and take a step out on that faith. I can definitely say that has happened in my life. All the way back to when I met him and I was, you know, endeavoring with the bar exam, and I was at a place where I just wanted to give up. I didn't feel like it was for me. And he was always a silent, confident giver. And while, you know, he didn't go to law school, he didn't have the answers to the questions that I was studying over and everything, he would still be my study partner and just encourage me always. And no matter what the outcome was, I knew that I had a safe place to fall. And that gave me confidence when I did fall short that I could stand up and do it again. And so I'm just so thankful, and I wanted to stop and say that today. So as I was thinking about my relationship with him, and not just him, even with our loved ones and children, I began to think about stewardship. And it works perfectly with the idea of establishing a legacy and all of that, and making sure that we're using the best of our time. But specifically how stewardship relates to relationships. And I was reading an article about stewardship, and it was saying, how can you recognize a good steward? So I'm going to just read some of the characteristics it said. One who recognizes that God owns everything. Of course, I'm looking at it on my screen, and as soon as I started reading, something popped up. So dumb. Okay, so again, one who recognizes that God owns everything. One who faithfully manages resources according to biblical principles. One who intentionally multiplies resources and uses them for God's glory. And one who gives cheerfully, saves consistently, invests wisely, and avoids debt. And one who works as unto the Lord. Excuse me. The character of the steward consists of being humble, wise, loving, cheerful, content, grateful, and disciplined. And I thought that was so profound. And even though it said resources, I think you can replace the word resources interchangeably. So definitely resources applies. And a lot of times when we think of resources, we think of things, we think of finances. But I think you can interchangeably use the word relationships. Because we also are to be good stewards of our relationships and good stewards of our time. And I guess time might fall in under resources. But the relationship part and the time part go together, because we acknowledge that God has given us these relationships that we have that are good, healthy relationships as an extension of his love to us. But that folks in our lives are on loan. And it's sometimes sad to think about that, that time is so much of the essence, because we literally have no idea what the beginning and the end of each person's life in our circle is, nor do we know the ending of what our life is. And so we have to be very purposeful in how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we are stewards of these relationships with one another, stewards of our time together. We want to, like the little outline was saying, we want to recognize that God owns everyone, right? We don't own. Like sometimes we feel like, or we desire to own the people in our lives. We want to know what they're doing. We want to know what they're thinking. We want to control their every move. That is ungodly and manipulative. And some folks would even say it's witchcraft to attempt to control someone or something that doesn't belong to us. And pretty much everything we've been given, all the way to our breath that we take in and out, is a gift, something that at any moment God can take back for himself. And so when we're given these gifts, we're given them as stewards of something that belonged to God. It makes me think of trust, especially, of course, I'm a real estate and an estate planning attorney. As an estate planning attorney, I establish trust for folks, and we identify a trustee. The trustee doesn't own what's inside the trust, but they must be good stewards of managing what's in the trust. They make decisions about it. They move things here and there. They either do well with their decisions or don't do well with their decisions. But at the end of the day, they're held accountable by someone who if not owns, benefits from it. In this case, God is the owner and he's the beneficiary because it's all about his glory anyway. And he has given it to us for a time to be a trustee. So in thinking of our relationships with our loved ones, we have been given them as a gift on loan to be a good trustee, right? We are to faithfully manage the gifts that we have been given. And we can be very cavalier with that. We can assume that every time we wake up and open our eyes, those people that we love will be there. But it is foolish of us to do that, right? It is not investing wisely. And so with our time, we want to be mindful that sometimes we need to stop and be grateful. We need to stop and be loving and cheerful and exercise the wisdom and humble ourselves and not be the sole focus all the time of what we're doing. You know, it's very easy and natural to be selfish and for every decision, every step that we make to be about us. But God is saying to us, hey, I want you to humble yourself and put others before you. And that includes sometimes just speaking well of each other, just saying you can do that. And I'm grateful for you. And I love you, not just with my words, but I'm going to put you and your interests before mine. And I can say for sure that my husband has done that for me. And I don't know that I always do it or, you know, in my heart, I think I'm doing it. But I wanted to be very purposeful on this episode. And I really do make effort in my life to try to remember that tomorrow is not promised. And so when I catch myself being foolish or being selfish or acting in ways that are self-centered, I really ask God to convict my heart. And refocus my attention on him and the gifts that he's loaned to me. And I think we can all really benefit by doing that, being good stewards of what we've been given. Which is actually the perfect segue into this next segment. But before we move on, this episode is being brought to you by Movement Express. This is a dance school in Willingboro, New Jersey, where young people and adults alike can learn how to do all sorts of dancing from beginners to advanced, including tap, ballet, liturgical dance, all sorts of things that I don't do. I wish I was good at, but I don't. You can look them up at www.movementexpressnewjersey.net. Express, ExpressNJ.net. You can also find them on Facebook at Movement Express Dance School, I think. So check it out. I'm sure you would love what they're doing and they'd be happy to get your support. So now let's talk some real tea on real tea. Today, since we're talking about stewardship, I thought of ways that we can be good stewards of our homes as homeowners. So I had three points of consideration for ways that you can increase your home value, and ultimately that will likely increase your equity, or at least when you sell your home, will be able to push the price up higher because you've invested in what you have now and you've been a good steward. And maybe you don't intend to sell, but you always want to make the best investment you can. And your home is an investment. And while you have it, just like with relationships, this is a resource. You want to be the best steward of your home that you can be. So I came up with three ways that you can put value into your home. The first is, if and when you can, update your kitchen and bathroom. I know when I'm like looking for a home, my primary concern is what them kitchen is looking like and them bathrooms. Not them kitchens. That's what the kitchen is looking like and them bathrooms. I want to see countertops. I want to see like the floors, if they're tile, if they are tile, if the grout is clean. I'm looking at all that sort of thing, and it actually matters. And as also a real estate agent, I take people to look at homes all the time, and they want to see what these kitchens are looking like. And so you want to take the time when you can, even if it's a little bit at a time, to make investments and updates into your bathroom and kitchen if they're outdated. So like I mentioned, countertops is one thing. floors. There's a move now away from typical old school tile to laminate or wood flooring that is waterproof. Or if you don't like that kind of look, you can do tile, but they're now doing tile like more tightly together with not such large spaces between tile. So it's a whole bunch of grout there that you can see. And those are really, really fabulous. In fact, they have some tile that looks like wood, which is just amazing, but it has the durability of tile so you can keep it clean and it's not as stressful sometimes as wood and laminates. But whatever your preference is, you want to just try to update and make it look really nice. And so if and when you're ready to move on or the next generation, you're kind of like putting value into your home. Another place in the kitchen and the bathrooms that you can invest is countertops and vanities. So in the bathroom, you can get a really nice vanity, update your vanities. If you have old school vanities, these are things that are like very, I guess, cost efficient. If you go to your local hardware store or home improvement store, you can find really, really nice ones for not incredible amounts. Now, of course, you may not want to do DIY and all of that, and that's okay. You can pick them out and you can hire a contractor and have them put them in. But that's a place where you can invest a little bit of money or not a ton of money, but also get a really good, healthy return on your investment. So that's number one, update kitchen and bathrooms. And there's a myriad of ways other than what I said. And then number two, and this is something that, again, may not be a whole lot of a financial investment. It might take a little, sweat of your brow or get on your hands and knees maybe and pull up some weeds. But let's talk about curb appeal. So number two is curb appeal and landscaping. So, you know, of course you want to make sure that your lawn is mowed if you have a lawn. If you just got cement out front, that you keep it nice and swept up, that you don't have old pieces of mail that fell down that you didn't pick up, and you know, just keep it really nice and neat and show that you're taking pride in the outside or the exterior of your home. Another thing you can invest in is a power washer. We have one of those at my house, and you just plug it up to your hose or whatever, wherever the spigot is on the back of your house, and you spray outside maybe once a year or every 6 months and make sure that you don't have dirt caked onto the front and the back of your house. These things matter and actually adds to the value of your home. When I take people to look for homes, I have gone to places with clients and we saw the outside and we just said, you know what, let's just get this house. Didn't matter what fabulousness lied inside, we were not interested because the outside looked like, oh my gosh, okay? And sometimes people that are ready to buy, they want to move right in, they don't want to do that stuff. And so, you know, give your house a little curb appeal. And if not for somebody else, for yourself, it feels so nice when you pull up to your house and your grass is cut and very nicely landscaped and lined. And maybe you have some seasonal flowers or plants outside. Just make it look nice. Maybe you put a little, ornaments on your lawn or on your porch just to make things look very nice and like you are being a good steward of what you've been given and you care about what it looks like, okay? And number three, maybe this is a little bit more complicated. This is where the money and all the time and all that stuff might come in. Modifying your floor plan, possibly adding square footage. Sometimes we know, like if you have an old house and it only has one bathroom, or if you have a 3-bedroom, but you know folks now are looking for 4 bedrooms, you may consider ways in which you can add square footage to your house, maybe take down a wall. Now, let me just say, most townships require permits for changes in the footprint of your home. So whether you're opening up walls or adding to the back or the side of your home or even on the top of your house, which is like much more difficult to do, but those are things that can be done. But you really can't and should not do that without making sure what your township requires to do that. So there is likely to be an application fee. You may have to get blueprints and all that stuff, and there will be expense in that. So I'm not even gonna like lead you the wrong way and thinking you can just go and open up a wall yourself and don't have to worry about making sure that's straight, because on the back end, if you do it the jimmy-rigged way and you actually do want to sell your property, you will find that when it's time to get a certificate of occupancy for your next buyer, the township will say, hold up, the last time we checked, this was a wall here, or there was only 3 bedrooms here, and now there's 4 and there's no wall. What happened? And I have seen them do this to investors in some towns, and I won't name the town that's in my mind right now because they are a daggone mess. And maybe it's good for the buyers, but anyway, if you're selling, it can really be a headache. And I've seen them have investors tear down everything and have to start from scratch because they did not do the proper process. So if you're gonna modify your floor plan or add square footage, make sure you do what you have to do at your township, pay for those permits, get blueprints, don't just do it yourself, get it done right. And when you do it right, you can add incredible, incredible value to what you already own. So update your kitchen and bathrooms, get a little curb appeal, maybe get a new door, like a red door, a yellow door, something, you know, this fancy stuff they're doing on HGTV. Maybe you want to do that. And then number 3, modify your floor plan, maybe add square footage, but just make sure you do it the right way. Okay. So that's it on Realty, on Realty. I hope you got something from it and that you make an investment financially and otherwise for you. So I like to call this next segment Die Right. And typically I'm talking about ways in which we can build our legacy, a lot of times using estate planning. But today I wanted to talk about dying right, knowing who the Lord is, and making sure that we are stewards of while we're living. I was listening to Tony Evans, and he was talking kind of about this with regard to losing his wife, and that family has suffered so much loss and death in the last year, I guess. And so it's very profound to hear him speaking from a broken place. And when you see him on the video, you can see that his heart is just broken. And yet he's continuing to walk and proclaim the goodness of the Lord in a place where there has to be questioning and uncertainty. And yet he continues to move forward. So this isn't about that. But as I think about it, he and his family are always talking about legacy, too. Which I discovered once God kind of put me on fire for it. And it's just so profound to see him still being a good steward of the relationship that he built with his wife and of the people that he pastors at his church and pastors virtually by continuing to just deliver the gospel despite his broken heart. But one of the things he was talking about, he did a sermon on his wife after she passed. And he said something like, and I'm not going to quote it because I know I'm going to get it wrong, but he said something like, in order to die a death worth dying, you have to live a life worth living. And that was just so profound. And as I was thinking about stewardship and thinking about legacy, all of it goes together. It's all about laying a foundation so that when we die, we have made an impact for the kingdom, especially, and just that will be life changing for the people that remain. And at the foundation of that is knowing ourselves who Jesus is. Like, we just need to know. We can you know, say we worship a higher power and all of that, but the Bible is very clear on the way to eternal life. And the way, the truth, and the light is Jesus Christ, and we have to know him. He is the wellspring of life. And when we get to know him, it and we pay attention to that relationship, right? Well, we're driven and directed by our walk and our talking with him, and we invest time in, you know, reading the word and fellowshipping with people who have like minds, and we spend time in prayer and spend time in personal worship. Even then, we're building legacy because it comes out of us as an overflow, because we are investing in that relationship and we're investing in that time, and we've inherited the spirit of the Lord Jesus inside of us, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, empowering us to do things that we cannot do on our own. And this is legacy because people are looking and watching. And even if you're not proclaiming it with your mouth, as you walk nearer to the Lord, you're walking this stuff out. You're living it out. And you are leaving, even as you're living, a legacy of kingdom. And you're living a life worth living so that you might die a death worth dying. And, you know, we've talked about this in episodes before. The one thing we know for sure is that we are going to die one day unless the Lord comes back and takes us up on out of here. But in any case, we're not going to be in this body on this earth until forever. And we have to live in a way that sees that and recognizes who has all the power, who has our beginning and our end, and invest in our future, not just our future here on earth, but our eternal future. And in doing so, we model this for not just strangers or not just people who are encountering us who don't believe, but for those who even say with their mouth they believe, but maybe have not quite walked it out or not investing in ways in their spiritual disciplines in ways that we are. And if we have not, it's time to do that. You know, it's easy to get caught up on what our history has been, what we haven't done in the past. But hey, look, it's a whole new decade, we can start again. And every day, you know, we're given the grace of new mercies and a fresh slate to start from. But with that, we want to invest. We want to be good stewards of our time. We want to be good stewards of our temporal breath and breathing and experiences so that we can get a return on our investment in the eternal, right? And so that when we do leave, those who we leave behind, if they can't rest in anything else, they can rest in that we knew the Lord as our Savior and that we really are in heaven. You know, when everybody dies, people say they're in heaven. But look, the word is very clear that there are some folks that are in heaven and there are some folks that are not. And those who are those who have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior and as Lord. And the Bible is very clear on this. It might sound like a joke to those whose eyes have not been opened yet, but every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And I pray for you who is listening that it is not on the side of eternity that your tongue confesses and your knee bows, but that it's here on earth, that you live a life worth living, that you might die a life worth dying. And so that's it. We're moving on to the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. And I promise you, I'm going to make an effort to get another episode done before next Saturday. But we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if tomorrow's even going to come, right? So I'm trying to live a life worth living right now on this episode. So thank you again for listening. I can't wait to catch up with you on the next episode.